Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, sitting in for the rest of the band. We're working on stuff for late spring and early summer. Right now, we're working on something that's quite interesting and really vital for the El Paso business area, for the entire Desert Southwest, quite frankly. With us this afternoon on El Paso Primetime, Art Onchondo and Joe Ferguson from the Southwest Texas Border Small Business Development Center Network from the El Paso Community College. Boy, that's a mouthful. Welcome, guys, once again to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you for
inviting
us.
Thank you very much, Dennis.
This is such an important program for this whole area. Gentlemen, let's just go ahead and jump in and start talking about the program and why it's so vital to business owners, large and small.
Well, the reason that we are sponsoring this event, we felt it would be good for El Paso. El Paso is on the border. We've had a decline in manufacturing in the greater El Paso area for a number of years now. There's still a lot of activity in Ciudad Juarez. However, there are still companies here in the El Paso region that are actively involved in exporting or maybe wanting to be actively involved in exporting. The Small Business Development Center received a grant from the federal government in order to encourage more export activity, and so that's the primary reason that we're here today, is to talk about exporting and how local businesses can get more involved in that area.
The statistics are quite telling. Art, I know that just over the last 12 months, the export of goods and services totaled $2.2 trillion, which is one-third of the budget shortfall the United States has. So how is that? How does that translate to this area?
Well, that's correct. We've had a tremendous increase in exports, at least over the last 12 months, and we're about halfway to the goal that the federal government has put out there for us, a little over $3 trillion by 2015. But the reality is this. I'll give you a little background. There's about 270,000 small and medium-sized businesses that are exporting today. However, even though we have 270,000 businesses out there exporting, only one out of 100 small and medium-sized businesses actually export. And what we're trying to do, obviously, one of the advantages of creating more exports is to bring down that trade deficit. And that's one of the reasons why we are interested in presenting this type of information to the El Paso area, is to see if there are companies in El Paso, small and medium-sized companies, that maybe are manufacturing a product that would lend itself to exporting.
So we're talking about exports on a grand scale, globally, of course. But one of the things that we need to, impress on our listeners is an upcoming thing called the International Business Summit.
Yes, and the primary reason for that, we felt it was necessary, especially since we had received the Jobs Act grant, to host a seminar like this, to make it worthwhile to companies in the area, and to also bring in dynamic speakers that can speak directly to people that are currently exporting or that want to start exporting, that have expertise in this area. We've been very lucky to, as our slate of speakers, we have Congressman Beto O'Rourke. He's going to kick the event off to speak from the federal government level. We're going to have Alberto Rodriguez-Baez from the UTSA International Trade Center at University of Texas, San Antonio. He's a senior international business consultant. He has worked actively with us, with local businesses, on providing them with information on not only how to export, but giving them bona fide leads with names of specific companies, names of individuals within those companies, telephone numbers, email addresses for whatever country in the world a particular company would like to export to. We also are lucky enough to have Rick Schultz. He's the SBA Regional Manager, International Trade Finance, and Joe Ringer of the Import-Export Bank of the United States. People that are going to be attending this seminar, they're not only going to learn how to export, they're going to get expertise on how to be able to finance their export needs, information on legal issues regarding export. In addition, we've got Wes Barriga, and Wes is he's the co-owner of Viewpoint Creative out of San Antonio, Texas. The primary function for Wes and his business partner joining us is he's going to speak specifically on how to market to international businesses. So this is going to be a very hands-on seminar. We know that for the limited number of seats we're going to have, it's going to be totally full. And maybe I'll let Art speak about the the uniqueness of it in terms of how we're structuring this event.
Yeah, one of the interesting things about exporting and trying to provide information to small businesses that might be interested in exporting or already exporting, a very interesting fact is that 90% of the world's consumers are outside the United States, right? As big as our economy is, the vast majority, 90% of the consumers are outside the United States. And the other interesting thing is if we look at the top countries that purchase U.S. goods, one of the top countries in terms of growth is Panama. And Panama is not that far away from us. Neither is Chile. Neither is Peru. And we are sitting here at the gateway to Latin America. And we feel that it's important for small businesses and medium-sized businesses to at least explore the possibility of exporting to some of these markets, especially if they already are producing a product that may lend itself to those markets. We're here on the border. We're the gateway to Latin America. We have a lot of business owners who speak the language, and therefore we think it would be very interesting to provide this kind of seminar where someone can come and listen and gain a pretty good inside knowledge of what it would take to export a particular product. We have resources to help people figure out, is my product exportable to some of these markets? And those are the kind of things that they're going to learn. How to finance it? Is my product something that I can export? And how do I market it?
Even the small business owner who happens to be listening to the show at this moment or can stream it later on through our website at ktep.org will ask the question, what kind of work is necessary in order to reach the customers abroad?
It's one of the tremendous resources we have, and that's why we have Alberto Rodriguez here to speak about this. If you're a small manufacturer producing a widget that you feel you haven't exported up to now, but you feel that there may be some possibilities there. Through Alberto Rodriguez and through the International Trade Center in San Antonio, we can provide you with very, very interesting information. For example, we can tell you who the top 5, 10, or as many countries as you want, who are the top 5 countries in the world that import that widget into their country. And then within that, we can tell you who are the top companies in that country that are buying that kind of widget. That kind of information, I think, is invaluable to someone who have maybe not have thought about exporting, but once they see that their product has potential in foreign markets and is able to even contact potential customers to determine if there's an interest and the possibility of exporting, I think it has tremendous value in trying to determine if I have a product that I can export.
Joe Ferguson and Art Onchondo are our guests this afternoon on El Paso Primetime. We're talking about something coming up that's vitally important to all business owners here in the Desert Southwest. It's called the International Business Summit. When is this going to take place?
The summit will take place on Friday, May 10th. The actual summit will run from 8:30 a.m. until 11:30, with registration starting at 8 a.m. It's going to be at El Paso Community College at the offices of the Small Business Development Center, which is in room B520. And the actual physical location of our building is 9050 Viscount. And that's building B as in boy at El Paso Community College Administrative Service Center.
You know, guys, I have marvel at this one statistic, Texas being the leading export state in the country. That just blows me away. I know that Texas is large, but it seems like we're really large in exports with all kinds of products that we can send anywhere and everywhere.
That's correct. We outdo California, New York. And a lot of it has to do with geography. You know, we are on the border. So our ability to export, especially to Mexico and to other parts of Latin America, is based on geography. But a lot of it has to do with the variety of products that we have to offer the rest of the world. Our demographics here in Texas, a lot of our business people speak Spanish, so they're able to do business in Latin America quite easily, and the fact that we are business friendly. We have a lot of businesses in Texas that are in the process of exporting or have been exporting for many years.
If a business owner who thinks their widget is going to be exportable but has questions about that, how do they reach you?
It's very easy. They can either go to our website or they can go to the telephone and give us a call. We do take appointments. Our telephone number is 831-7743. When that phone is answered, they'll be treated courteously. They'll be asked when they would like to come in and see us, day and time. We try to work around their schedule, although we are open basically from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. And I think that for the number of people that we serve annually, which is in the area of about 700 small businesses or people interested in starting small businesses, most people would find that the information they're going to gain from us is very valuable, and on top of that, it is free. There is no charge at all to become a client of the Small Business Development Center, nor is there any fee for us during the counseling process and the research process.
It's a vital service to El Paso that we need to remind business owners, especially of virtually every quarter, every week, we run into somebody who says, "I never knew." Until we tell them how to get a hold of you guys, and then all of a sudden it's like a light goes on in their head and they're happy about being able to get help for being a small business owner. The economy seems to be taking a nice turn for the better. When we look at the International Business Summit in these terms of small business owners who have the potential to sell their services across the way, this particular summit would be able to point them in the right direction with a game plan rather than to try to do this in a haphazard sort of way.
And that's correct. You know, one of the important issues is that manufacturer of a widget has to look at a couple of things before they can determine whether that widget is exportable. And one of the items is, depending on the product, is that product saleable in a particular foreign country? There's cultural issues. There's a whole series of issues that you have to look at to make sure that that product, maybe in some cases there are exporters who have to modify that product in some way to make it marketable and saleable to a foreign country. So a business plan for an exporter is a little bit different than a business plan for someone that's going to sell domestically. And that's where the Small Business Development Center and the International Trade Center provide very valuable assistance and one-on-one counseling to someone who is interested in learning just how do I go about assessing if my product is exportable.
Exactly. And the other thing I want to add on this that we haven't talked about yet is that this is an exclusive event. It has up to now been by invitation only, and the reason we're doing that is there is limited seating. We can hold approximately 28 to 30 participants in the particular room that we're going to be having this in. And we really want to target it to companies that have the ability with a product or service to export or are currently exporting, as opposed to people that are maybe just trying to gather information that don't have really the true desire to be in the export business. We know that if we make it exclusive, we have the opportunity to make it a very successful event. If it is successful, like it looks like it's going to be in terms of the number of participants we're going to have, we're going to repeat this event maybe with similar or different subject matters related to exporting in about 6 months from now. So those that are listening today that maybe are interested in finding out more about this, we'd really encourage you to call in to our number at 831-7743 and give us some basic information about yourself and your company. And hopefully we can extend you that invitation to attend this event. It'll be actually exclusive enough to where we're going to have a ticket that will be sent to you, and the ticket will talk briefly about the event, and it'll be your admission to the event to participate and gain this valuable knowledge.
Well, wonderful. So the first step is to phone you guys and talk about the business end of what they do so that perhaps they might be able to get the invitation to come to this International Business Summit that's being held May 10th.
Exactly.
So that number again is 831-7743 out of the area. It's 915-831-7743. Arden Chondo and Joe Ferguson our guests today on El Paso Primetime. Thank you so much for coming in and talking about this. Mi casa, su casa. Anytime you have anything at all about small business, we'd love to have you back.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank
we
you,
appreciate
Dennis.
It.
Thank you.
Art Anchondo and Joe Ferguson talking about the upcoming International Business Summit. And if you need further information, 915-831-7703. The International Business Summit is by invitation only. Here on El Paso Primetime, it's a case of waste not, want not. And yesterday, we preempted the airing of Focus on Campus with Louis Sines due to the breaking news coming out of Boston, Massachusetts. So herewith is a portion of the interview that was supposed to air yesterday. From Focus on Campus to El Paso Primetime, here's Louis Sines.
Join us today are Dr. Mimi Gladstein and Victor Mireles. Dr. Gladstein, for those of you who may not be familiar with her, she is a professor here at UTEP, has been a professor for a long time here, teaching a variety of topics, also an expert on the works of Mr. Steinbeck, and Victor is a creative director. And they're going to talk about a book that just came out, actually just came out in Spanish, but it's about the Holocaust Museum. The name of the book in Spanish is called Museo del Holocausto y Centro de Estudios del Paso, El Paso, El Salvaje Oeste de la Bienvenida, o Sobrevivientes del Holocausto en un Epílogo. And this is by Mimi Gladstein and, of course, Sylvia Cohen. And we'll talk a little bit about Sylvia as well in just a minute. But first of all, thank you all very much for taking time out of your busy schedule for being with us here today.
Thank you very much.
First of all, tell us a little bit about how did this idea about the museum in El Paso come about?
Well, Henry Kellen is the founder of the museum, and he started collecting artifacts and put them in a bookcase at the Jewish Community Center. And his collection just kept growing, and he kept, taking over more and more of the room. And then finally, it just became obvious that we needed a museum, and Louis and Miriam Rosenbaum were very generous about donating the funds to build a museum. And if you remember, it was at the time that the museum would have big events, have big name speakers come. And it was actually at the time that Bill Clinton came, and in very close proximity to 9/11, that this sort of mysterious fire broke out at the museum. And so then it was quite some time while we spent, building a new museum.
Now, tell us a little bit about either you or Victor about Sylvia Cohen's role in all of this.
Well, Sylvia Cohen was the first executive director, and she worked very closely with Henry from the beginning. She also went and she got instructions from Steven Spielberg's Shoah Foundation on taping the survivors. And so she did. A lot of them have passed away since then. We're losing survivors, day by day. And so she did that. And she was, the executive director of the museum until she retired. So when they asked me to write this piece about the Jewish community in El Paso, I thought one of the most significant things about El Paso was how wonderfully receptive El Paso was to the survivors of the Holocaust who came here. And so since Sylvia was very much involved, I asked her to co-write with me, and we wrote this article, which was originally published in a book published by Brandeis University Press.
Now, we'll talk a little bit about the book because it just came out in Spanish Victor helped a lot in. And, in fact, if it wasn't for Victor, probably wouldn't be out in Spanish. But tell us a little bit about the English book. If someone wants to pick it up and for themselves and give it as a gift to someone, what can they find in it? Because sometimes people are a little bit hesitant, and nothing against you, Mimi, or against the rest of my colleagues, but sometimes people are a little bit hesitant to pick up an academic book. This is not an academic book.
No, not at all. And Sylvia Cohen is not an academic, and we co-wrote it. And I did want to also give credit to Dr. Richard Ford, who is the one who translated the book into Spanish. And, he was for a long time at UTEP, the head of the translation program. But it's the book is very well priced. It's $15. You can pick it up at the museum bookstore. All of the funds from the book go to the museum. So the book was underwritten by some very generous El Pasoans. And then some other generous El Pasoans underwrote the Spanish version. So that when you're buying the book, you're not only buying something that will be valuable for you because the book is full of pictures. That's why, of all the wonderful exhibits that Victor created at the museum. And the book is sort of a step-by-step passageway through the museum, all the different exhibits and pictures. And then we have a lot of information there for people who want information about the Holocaust.
Victor, you and Mimi had a difficult part here because, first of all, you have to decide what is this going to look like. And this is not something that, well, you remember very well the controversy they had about a memorial for 9/11. You know, should it be this? Should it be that? Is it going to offend people? So you have to make sure that you put something together that's going to attract people, educate them, but at the same time show them the atrocities and the truth that happen. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your job?
Well, it's definitely a memorial to the 11 million people who perished under the hands of people who were just doing it out of hate. So that became the theme and became what our objective. So the entire museum, which is designed to take you from biblical times all the way through the end of the war, it is done physically where you pass through. There's passages and the exhibits are all displaying that chronologically. What happened? What created this Holocaust? Why something like this, so heinous as this? Especially with a country like Germany, which was at the time one of the most advanced countries. But things happen, and there's always something underlying. There was always this feeling of anti-Semitism because of the separation of societies, of cultures. So, yeah, things happen. So if you look at it in terms of principles that you can learn from going through the museum, principles of what they mean, you know, doing the right thing, not looking the other way. But at the same time, certain things that we could regard as extremely valuable to our ethics, our values, like patriotism and loyalty, could be a double-edged sword. Truth, in fact. During the war, people had to lie to protect a lot of people, to keep them from, well, being dragged off and murdered. So these are the lessons of the Holocaust that actually, if you look at history, it repeats itself. And it's being repeated right now, repeated in Africa. It's being repeated. I mean, definitely something that Americans have to become very aware of. The same way as we regarded at the time a problem that was not ours, far away, and a lot of people, because of the anti-Semitism, said, well, this is not our problem, this is their problem, allowed something like this to happen. Even the American government turned a blind eye. So what we have to do is learn these lessons, embed them into our values personally and do something about it.
The book, as I mentioned, just came out in Spanish, and when I went to this memorial service, there were a lot of Hispanic people there with Jewish roots. Can you tell us a little bit about the connection between Hispanic Jews?
Well, the fact is that we are in a bilingual, border community, and we have, of course, we have Mexico right across the border from us. These lessons are not just for our local citizenry, is for everyone, the entire community and the world community. This museum is designed to do that. We have thousands and thousands of students that go through from as far away as Arizona to come in busloads to learn these lessons. So everything in the museum is bilingual. We have films that are subtitled in bilingual, in Spanish rather, and all the exhibits, the graphics are all in English and Spanish, so that, you know, anyone who feels more comfortable or English is not their first language can learn these lessons just as, you know, any English-speaking person.
There's a book called The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom, and she was Dutch. They were Christian, and they got sent to a concentration camp for hiding Jews in their house. And, of course, they all died except for her. She wrote a book on that. Victor, can you kind of take us through there and then maybe Mimi guide us if people have never been there? What can they expect to see?
Well, for one thing, I'm really happy to see that when visitors write down something, they say thank you very much, that they feel good about the museum. There is a rise and fall of emotions. And I have found that the people are not in tears. A lot of times they're more in awe or more in shock when they see the atrocities. But when they see the heroic stories of heroism, they break down and cry. I mean, in fact, every time I go into that section, there's that tug in my heart about people who just risk their lives just for someone they don't even know. Children, I mean, millions of people were saved because of the generosity, the goodness of, you know, people with real true values.
Mimi, if you don't mind telling us about some upcoming events and also books.
Yeah, I do want to point out that this is Genocide Awareness Month. And the UTEP Global Relations Organization and the UTEP Department of Political Science, in conjunction with the Holocaust Museum, have presented a number of events. And coming up on the 25th at 6:30 p.m. in Quinn Hall, the guest speaker will be a Burundi genocide survivor. And he will speak. This is Gilbert Tuhaboni. And Mr. Tuhaboni will talk about being there and witnessing the terrible massacres and his escape. And this was the Tutsi-Hutu War in Burundi.
The hours of the museum, are they Monday through Friday, or do they have different hours? Is there a number that people call
No,
for
it's actually closed on Mondays. Okay. It's the only day it's closed. But it is open from 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock daily.
Saturday and Sunday also.
And is this book available at the UTEP bookstore as well or on Amazon?
No, it's just open. It's just available at the
Museum.
At the museum.
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to thank you very much for being with us here today. We have been visiting with Victor Mireles and Dr. Mimi Glanstein, talking about the El Paso Holocaust Museum and Study Center. And also just want to remind you that a book just came out in Spanish about the center, if you're interested in purchasing that, and that is available at the museum. Thank you all very much for being with us here today.
Thank you so much.
You'll find the full version of that interview under the Focus on Campus section of KTEP.org. El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP, all rights reserved. Have a great weekend. Louis Signs and Perspectives is up next. Thanks for listening to El Paso Primetime.